Wake Up for Breakfast.
It's got a great mix of beaches and city. It's just a really beautiful place to live.
We're lucky to have so much natural environment around the city.
ABC Radio Sydney.
11 to 9 on your Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us for breakfast. Look, people have been standing in spots around Sydney looking at the stars for tens of thousands of years. But there's some really interesting research out this week about the first colonial observatory and the site of it that has been revealed. Do you know where Dawes Point is?
Yep.
Yeah, it's named after William Dawes, who was a young Marine officer in the First Fleet.
It's just in the Sydney Harbour.
Yeah. Well, Richard de Grace joins us. He's a professor of astrophysics at Macquarie University, and he's been doing a bit of digging when it comes to this spot. Morning, Richard.
Good morning, Robbie. Thank you for having me.
That's okay. All right. Tell us about the site and why it's so special.
Oh, right. So a couple of years ago, I wrote a book on the determination of longitude at sea in the 17th century, and that was before I moved to Sydney. So when I moved here, I was thinking it would be interesting to follow up on that research using some local history. And so I talked to one of my colleagues, the curator of Sydney Observatory, Andrew Jacob. I said, Andrew, I've heard about this guy, William Dawes, the astronomer on the First Fleet. Do you know anything about him? And Andrew said, yes, the mysterious William Dawes. There's very little known about him, but he set up an observatory in Sydney Cove, right near Circular Quay. There is a plaque on the Harbour Bridge. So I went to the plaque, and it said 90 feet to the west of this plaque is where the original observatory, the first permanent observatory in the Southern Hemisphere, was located. And then I went to the State Library, the National Library, the State Archives, and a whole range of other institutions to look for maps as to where the observatory was actually located. And all of them seemed to imply that it was not 90 feet to the west of that plaque, but on the other side of the headland of the Harbour Bridge. So that actually caused quite some confusion.
Yeah. So how did you determine that?
There are a number of maps, survey plans, crown plans, all that kind of thing. From the late 1780s, 1788 to 1791, when the observatory was actually located there, and quite a few of them already from March 1788 indicate the location of Dawes Observatory. And so we had at least four or five direct indications and a few kind of circumstantial bits of evidence, plus a few longitude lines, as they're called meridians, mm-hmm. going through the eastern side of Dawes Point as well.
Okay, and what about any physical remains?
That would be a problem because for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. First of all, the Harbour Bridge was constructed, and in order to do so, they had to dig enormous holes. They were called skewbacks, mm-hmm. Which must have removed a lot of whatever was there in terms of archaeological evidence. Plus, the topsoil on top of the bedrock was very thin. That was actually a problem at the time. And given that the observatory was built in the first year of the colony, they didn't have major heavy equipment to build foundations. Plus, the construction of the Harbour Bridge disturbed the soil very, very thoroughly. So there's really nothing left there.
So what does this discovery mean for our sense of recent history when it comes to looking at the stars here in Sydney and New South Wales? Do we remap our vision of what happened?
The idea is, of course, that we set the record straight. We provide a bit of additional information about the early colonial history. The First Fleet is often seen as a military invasion and things like that, but it had a scientific angle. And so we've highlighted the scientific angle here. It doesn't do anything to our understanding of the stars as such.
No, but I mean, our understanding of our history, it does. Yeah.
And so Dawes, he actually literally took his bat and ball and went home, didn't he? Tell us what happened there, Richard.
Right, so Dawes was enlisted as a Marine on the First Fleet, on the Sirius, the flagship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was a 3-year appointment. And he was actually quite keen to extend it for another 3 years, but he had fallen foul with Governor Arthur Phillip. He was a man of high morals, and he had actually done a few things that angered Phillip in the sense that he had been good to the local indigenous population. At one point, Phillip had tasked him with rounding up 6 Aboriginal men and kill them, in essence, for some altercation that had happened. And initially, Dawes refused to do so, so that was seen as insubordination. He was eventually convinced to go ahead and look for those Aboriginal men, but he did this with a party that made a lot of noise. And so the Aboriginals ran away, and right. he never actually yeah. captured any. So that angered Philip. Plus, Dawes also traded a bag of flour with one of the convicts, which was against the rules, and that also angered Philip. So when Dawes wanted to extend his appointment by another 3 years, Philip said, "I will only allow you to do so if you actually apologize for what you've done and commit to never doing that again." And that was refused by Dawes.
Yeah, so he then... He apparently went back to England with almost all his astronomical instruments. He abandoned astronomy, pursued a passion for the abolition of slavery, and ended up as governor of Sierra Leone in Africa and then Antigua in the Caribbean. What an extraordinary life he had.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So he left in early 1792. Mm-hmm. And he took, indeed, almost all of his instruments with him. And then he became a three-time governor of Sierra Leone, interspersed with stints back in England because of poor health. And he took up this course of the abolition of slavery. Interestingly, his son, William Ritter Dawes, became an astronomer in his own right, and actually he's better known than the father.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, that is all very interesting stuff. Of course, you know, as Robbie mentioned there, Richard, what we've come to know, you know, settlers, we white Australians, what we've come to know about Aboriginal astronomy lately has been really revelatory, like the dark emu. Can you pick that out in the sky? You know, because I can now.
I can now as well. It's clearly not my expertise, being an import myself here to Australia. it's very fascinating, the Aboriginal astronomy. I've been reading up quite a bit about it. Yeah. I'm by no means an expert, but I can pick out the dark emu. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, it's a great tale and great research. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Richard.
Thank you very much.
Good on you. Richard de Grace, who's a professor of astrophysics at Macquarie University. Yes, and his research into the original observatory down there, essentially the rocks these days, isn't it? Mm. Where the Harvard Bridge was. Amazing stuff. 4 to 9.
This is Breakfast. ABC Radio Sydney.